Previously on Worlds Away.
I think that you can see maybe attached to the back of this creature, maybe it's where all of the tentacles meet. There is a kind of cord or tether, and I think it leads to where you understood Lena Dallin's bed to have been.
I think Leela switches from trying to escape into more of a offensive position, and I think I'm going to try to sever that tether.
Before you do that, I think one thing happens when you take the aggressive posture.
Mm-hmm.
I think you hear the voice again say, "No, you have to flee this way." And you hear it echoing down the corridor of the maze.
Fuck!
I mean, you can be torn, right? The character can be torn.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like she is.
So I think she maybe takes that aggressive posture, hears the child's voice, struggles for a moment, and then turns and goes in the direction of the voice.
Mara and Arno were waiting in the lobby of the Office of Public Safety, and you received messages on your slates that contained sensor readings from the anomaly back in the cave.
Lauren, I think if we got the notification that this was happening, we would assume that Nasir got the notification, and we probably wouldn't wait for him to come to us. We'd probably go to meet him there, or assume that's where we would see him.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Do you say anything or send him a message, or what do you two do as you're on the way out?
Oh, probably like a quick message, like heading out, we'll meet you at the anomaly.
It looks like you found something interesting, Mr. Badock. And behind you, we see Herman Eastling looking down at the screen.
Motherfucker. Kick him.
I will send myself the footage and then delete my overlay. Do you honestly not know that Ruby Watson was framed?
Say what you will, but Ms. Watson was working with Aventine. That is a fact.
I believe in the unitedness of humanity. I believe that we need to stick together. And I do not believe we do that through subterfuge and lies and deception. When I first arrived on Satis, I didn't think you did either.
You're trying to paint me as if I'm some kind of bigot. It's only the two of us speaking, Nasir. We know what they did in our mine, what they planted there, what they were testing. And now, another citizen of Satis has been hurt. So if you're telling me that things are different now, that this is something else that we need to be worried about, why aren't you willing to show it to me?
I will send him the video.
So let me ask this then. When you turn around, whose face do you see behind you?
I think Ruby Watson.
So I think you see that, and then I think you turn back toward the door. And when you do, I think you see the monster standing in your path. You see the door, it's maybe 20, 25 feet in front of you, and the monster 10 feet in front of that. What do you do?
I think Leela maybe pauses for a second and is kind of waiting for the child to tell her where to go, because that's what she's been following this whole time.
I think you see the door, but I think the child is silent at this point, now that you're through the maze.
Oh, cool. I think Leela is maybe waiting for a second longer than she really should, still mm-hmm. expecting the child to say something. But when the child doesn't speak, I think she maybe for the first time actually looks at the monster and tries to reach out to it, perhaps. And I think this could be another role.
This is Embrace Eternity?
Yeah, I think so.
I think go ahead and roll plus alien then.
We weren't going to get out of this whole scene without one of these. That plus 3 gives us an 11.
What the fuck is up with us doing rolling well? Like, I'm flabbergasted. My gas is flabbergasted.
Last time Nasir and Leela failed like major roles, and then now we're nailing everything else.
This whiplash is really
just in time for the ending. I mean, what? I'm sorry.
I don't enjoy that at all.
It's okay. Lauren's taking all the roles for us.
Don't do that.
So for Embrace Eternity, when you gently reach out and mingle your mind with the energies and the auras of something living nearby, you discharge the move and you roll plus alien. On a 10 plus, the connection is open, and you ask two questions to the list, and they'll ask one. And the questions are, what do you seek? Who or what do you wish to protect? Who or what do you love? What are you willing to sacrifice for your beliefs? And what do you have faith in?
I think my questions for this monster are, what do you seek, and who or what do you wish to protect?
I'm sad.
Like, acutely, or like in a long term?
No. The concept of like, I'm like very interested in what the outcome of this question is. Allow me to translate. I apologize.
Oh no, I heard sad, not sat, which yeah, I sat, think S-A-T. Now I'm understanding you're saying
oh,
sad.
I also okay. heard sad, but
what? I am also sat. I'm sat.
Does that mean something? Just say sat.
Okay, I guess like satisfied, satisfactory.
No,
I'm sitting
here. Okay, yes. Waiting.
Oh, I see.
All right, thank you.
I think my version's right.
I'm satisfied.
I will never be satisfied.
See, both of those things are millennial, so I understand it.
Just kill me. I don't want to learn anymore.
I know I said I'm sad, but I am going to step away from my computer for a second to grab my charger because I'm at 5%.
Liar!
Oh, he's unsat. He is unsat.
He stand! He, oh god, look at him stand!
He dissat.
Alright, I'm plugged in. Crisis averted.
So I'm going to answer those questions, but I think I want to actually ask you mine first.
Okay.
And I think that before I do that, let me just ask you, Haley, a question, which is, you said you're trying to like reach out and understand. And I mean, the way that it like phrases the question is, when you gently reach out and mingle your mind with the energies and auras of something living nearby. And so how is Leela approaching this in the sense of what is she feeling when this happens? Like, what is the, if I were receiving your vibes, right? If I were feeling this embrace eternity, right? And if I were the other side of this, right? If I were the monster, I guess, what sense would I be getting from you? What are you trying to put down?
I think Leela is sending out some sense of like desperation or exhaustion of just like, this is the last thing keeping me between here and safety. So I think there's a bit of that, a bit of frustration mingled in with that. And then I think there's also just maybe a very hesitant curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Because she does have this association of the child and the monster being somehow related. So I think there's a sense of that as well.
So I guess if that's your perspective, my question for you is going to be one of the same that you asked it. And that's, who or what do you wish to protect?
I think Leela's first impulse on who or what do you wish to protect would be, I mean, honestly, herself in this moment. because it feels like this is a very dangerous situation for her. This is like unexplored territory. I think another forefront figure would, of course, be Lena. The whole reason she's doing this is to try to help her. But then I think if we think about the reason that Leela's here in the Verge at all, I think it's not just all of humanity, but all of the life on all of these planets. And I think that's part of why she's here, is to protect everyone and make sure that life can still exist.
So I think we see maybe, it's like we're seeing it from your perspective, right? We see in your mind that that's the vision that you're having of flashing through these things, you know, seeing yourself in the maze and then seeing Lena in the bed. And then I think maybe it kind of zooms out and we can see the things and the places and the people and the creatures, right? That you've, the other living things that you've seen and experienced during your time since you left your home, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I think the other takes hold, and I think your scale begins to change. And I think we see you not, it's not zooming necessarily, so maybe scale was the wrong word, but you're moving and traveling on a journey greater than any journey that has ever been attempted or contemplated before. And I think that you're moving across planets, across stars, and then finally between galaxies until you reach a place millions of trillions of miles away from where you stand now. And I think you get the sense that if you're able to find a way to reach this place, you'll find something greater, more perfect, and more beautiful than anything that can or would exist. And possibly the source of where you came from yourself.
Oh, shit.
And I think as you see this thing, this idea maybe, it's as if you're staring at the face of God. And I think your second question was, who or what do you wish to protect? And I think it's that the ability to make this journey, to complete this prophecy, that that's the most important thing ever. But now I want you to roll plus alien again as you feel mind begin to tear.
Into the abyss?
This is assaulted by the abyss.
Assaulted by the abyss. Okay. That's an 8.
Okay.
Plus 3, really. Came in clutch there.
So, when you suffer direct exposure to exotic energies or forces, or a bizarre and terrifying experience, you roll plus alien. And on a 7 to 9, the abyss leaves its mark, and you have to choose 2 from the list. Before I get to that, I want to describe what you see so that it can help contextualize what you pick. I think time begins to move backwards and you trace your way back from the journey. And I think you realize that to get to that place, it's over the graves of everyone and everything that you've ever known. And I think you see destruction of a scale that, you know, it's easy to say, like, you can't put it into words, but it's complete.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your options are, the abyss stares into you, and I'll ask you a question from the abyss stares back. You'll freeze up and you have to keep your cool at disadvantage to shake it off. Or you're scarred by your experience, figuratively or literally, and you can write a hook about it. But I'll decide what's the, you know, the rest of the consequence of that.
Okay. So just to summarize what I saw in what they wanted to protect and all of that, there is a sense of something beyond where we currently are that is, like,
divine.
Divine. But it requires the absolute destruction, annihilation of everything that I know.
I think that's what you saw, that last part, right? That wasn't an answer to one of the questions, but it comes at a cost, I guess.
Right. So I have to pick two. I don't really feel like I freeze up and I have to keep my cool at disadvantage to shake it off. I don't really feel like that does a ton. So if I'm thinking about what's interesting, I would say the two I'm going to select are The Abyss Stares Into You. The SM will ask you one question from The Abyss Stares Back, and I'm scarred by my experience, figuratively, I assume, and I may write a hook about it. I don't know. The tentacle monster did attack me, so maybe there's a literal scar too.
I mean, I guess I'll leave that up to you, right? How do you think mm-hmm. that Leela is scarred? And maybe actually before you answer that, let me ask you my question for The Abyss Stares Back.
Yeah.
In what way is your character's mind and soul vulnerable?
That's a good question. So I kind of alluded to this earlier, but I do think that Leela is plagued by more self-doubt than she was before. But I also think that that can be healthy, and that's not necessarily a complete vulnerability. When I think about what makes her truly vulnerable, I think it's more about her belief in what's right, and how up until 2 years ago, she had a very strong belief in the power of indexing and her abilities. And then I think the events of our first foray into the Verge shook all of that to its core. I think seeing Paolo and seeing how much he's changed or how much he hasn't, and how much her actions had an impact on him. I think seeing Arno and seeing how much impact her actions had on him. And I think just the consequences of everything that's playing out right now, from the geopolitical to the interpersonal, I think is really affecting Leela. I think she is scared of the power that she has wielded and is uncertain, especially this current experience is kind of shaking even what she believed about the ghost ship and the child. And so I think she's plagued with not just self-doubt, but kind of existential doubt. I think that's a big part of what she's grappling with right now.
So now I want you to explain to me how you're scarred by your experience and what the new hook might be. But I think, as I'll say one more thing, which is reaching into this mind, I think in the child, right? Maybe the feeling that you had, like anytime you heard the voice, somewhere buried in that, even though it's kind of strange because it's the voice of a child, you had the feeling of regret. And maybe it's similar to that feeling that you just described in part about Leela's past and the choices that she made. But there's nothing of the child in what you feel now.
Okay. I think in terms of how Leela is scarred, I do think that when she wakes from whatever this is, I think we will see that there is just the faintest hint of a scar on her skin where the tentacle arm lashed out at her. And I don't think it looks fresh. I think it looks like it happened years ago. But I think it's there. I think it's just like a thin silvery line on her upper arm.
And how does that change one of your hooks?
I think the hook I've been referencing this whole time, the ghost ship is trying to protect us from a greater threat. I'll stand in the way if others try to harm it. I don't think it's completely undone. I think Leela has seen something, divine, and has had an experience that carries some weight. So I don't know exactly how to phrase what the new hook is going to be, but I think it's going to be related to I think it's going to be about how she relates to the child and the path that the child is trying to lead her down.
So you want some time to work on that, is what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. I think what we see then is you kind of hold your head and scream back in the maze, right? And I think that we hear the monster scream also, or it lets out a shriek, and it kind of echoes and deafens anything that's down this maze. Like, you almost like feel it or see the sound reflecting across the hedges. And I think you see the door behind it, and I still don't think you hear the child, but I think you see that you can have a chance to run, or you can fight.
I think I will run.
Go ahead and roll Act Quick one more time for me as you reach toward the door.
Oh my gosh, it's the first fail of this whole...
Incredible.
That's a 5.
Perfect timing, no notes.
So go ahead and mark XP. Oh, there it is. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oof.
Oh, I succeeded.
I don't get to, like, look at a stat block for an NPC. Like, it's been, like, fucking years since we've gotten to do this, but...
I'm scared.
I think you go out and reach the door. Is Leela right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay. I think you go and reach for the door, because I'd mentioned that your left hand, the left arm, was the one that got the slash on it, right? And you had mentioned the scar. So I think you push past the monster, right? You shove it off with your arm and push past it. And you reach for the handle of the door and you turn it, right? It's not even about like opening the door, right? It's just you have to turn the handle and then it's like, it's open. But you go to turn the handle. And I think as you do that, you look back and you see the creature and you lock eyes with it. And it doesn't attack. Nothing occurs physically. But you feel the slash on your arm begin to burn, as if it was something that would leave the scar, like what you just described. And I want you to take 3 harm.
Whoa.
Woof.
Woof.
So I am hurt bad. I have disadvantage to any roll requiring physical exertion, severe bleeding or broken bones if we feel like this is physical, or maybe it's just all in my mind.
I guess that's for, I mean, I think it's, I don't think that you're like physically injured in that way, right? I mean, something gave you the scar, right? So in that sense, you are hurt.
Right. But that's more mysterious.
Yeah. So I think however that manifests, I'll leave it to you to describe. But, you know, if you didn't use anything to absorb the injury, I think that if you took all 3 of the harm, I think that's the consequence.
I mean, I already took 1 stress. I feel like this has been a very stressful situation, so I genuinely do think I should take a 2nd stress, and then that would leave me 2 harm, which means I'm rattled.
I think that makes more sense, that it's like Slicker calculating that's hurt, right? That makes a lot of sense to me. And I do think that will persist like a little bit longer. I think the scene is going to include the rest of this episode, really, and I'll describe what happens, but I think that makes sense.
Okay.
But I think that occurs and you turn the handle on the door. And then the next thing that we see is you sitting in the chair back in the hospital room.
Yeah.
We see your eyes flutter briefly and then you can look up and take in your surroundings. I think the focus shifts first to the table where we see the metronome just stopped. Even though you didn't touch it, and we don't see any evidence that someone else entered the room. And I think we also see the bed where Leena Dallin is lying there. I think seems peacefully, but still very much in the coma that you found her in. But I think at that point, you look down, you see the messages on your slate.
Hey there, it's Mike. Thank you so much for listening to Worlds Away. It's been an absolute blast making the show and inspiring so much future fan fiction. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far, you can help us out by spreading the word to friends, family, and coworkers you corner at the water cooler. We're relying entirely on word of mouth to advertise, so this is the number one way to help support the show. And if you've already talked about us to everyone you know and want another way to support us, you can also rate and review us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform you use to listen to podcasts. You can also give us a shout out on social media on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod or at our website, worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the episode.
Arna Mara.
Hi.
How did you get back to the cave? Was there kind of a shuttle or kind of flying craft? Did you hike? Yeah. Like, what was the method of transit that you took?
I mean, I assume we have on-demand rideshare capabilities in current year. I just assumed that we availed ourselves of the local transportation.
Mm, yes, Luber.
I'm cutting that part out, but...
You just said with your human mouth on mic in front of God and me, more importantly.
God, Kevin, and the rest
Luber.
Of our
you said Luber.
Yeah, that's
Luber.
Right. Yep.
I like it. I have a question. Why lube?
I just wanted a portmanteau of Lyft and Uber.
And you did. You chose.
And yet.
I thought about Luft. Technically succeeded, but at what cost?
Say, oofed was right there.
Doesn't have the same panache as Luber.
I'm pretty oofed right now, for being honest.
I disagree, Mike, but all right.
I will say it doesn't have the same something as Uber. There is something about Luber that is different than oofed.
And it's probably the lube. Je sais quoi.
Yeah.
It's the lube.
Yeah. I wouldn't have said Luber. I wouldn't.
That's okay.
I appreciate the portmanteau, though. I just think oofed has a vibe to it.
Okay. So you
we
get out of this year goal.
We took a fucking cab.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
I think yellow, if that's... It says New York Taxi on it.
I'm walking here. All right, I did it.
I think if that's the case...
Okay. Even in space, New York is a character.
Oh my god. All right. I think if that's the case and you're taking a cab or sort of flying a vehicle there, I don't think it gets you all the way to your destination. I think there's maybe a perimeter around the city itself that's where it's kind of programmed to travel. And I think you just take it as close to the edge, which is, I think, like fairly close to the destination. Maybe it's just a few hundred yards away further. I think we see you climbing out and making your way across the terrain. I think it's pretty uneven, right? I mentioned these kind of volcanic rocks as the main terrain that you're traveling here. Do you have any conversation or what do we see as the two of you looking like as you're moving? And also, how quickly are you running, walking fast? What's the pace? Just, you know, the only information you have is what I described on the slate before.
I don't think we react like this is an emergency. I think this is like understood as some sort of like ephemeral phenomenon. So it's like the idea we're going to catch it in the act is, you know, like maybe, or at least that's how Mara perceives it, right? Is that it's kind of for just sure. like random that it even showed up to begin with. So, I mean, I think they're like not like leisurely. So I think it's probably a hurried walk. But I think maybe there is or isn't conversation. I definitely think Mara is like anticipatory. I think she's looking around to see, you know, has Nasir, is he ahead of them? Is he behind them? Like, has Leela finished her task? I think she's like kind of bobbling between checking her slate and like looking at the horizon or like looking ahead of her, anticipating like some sort of information or sign or appearance from the other members of the group.
Yeah. And I think I know we've been kind of cutting around and maybe playing with the time a little bit, but I'll just say if that's the case and you're looking at your slate, I think that you haven't seen any response yet at this point, right?
Sure.
I think you're just looking and you notice that fact.
Yeah. And I think that's what kind of like it's almost a cycle between, well, they haven't responded. Well, OK, maybe they're ahead of us, but I don't see any inclination that they're ahead of us. OK, well, maybe they're behind us, but I also don't see that. And like kind of that cycle is running and maybe like it started out at a leisurely pace, but maybe it's actually like picking up as things appear more confusing.
Yeah, I'll turn it over to you. But I think we see you look at that and then maybe put the slate down or, you know, like, I don't know if you have like a clip or where you put your slate normally, but that we see you do that. And I think the other environmental thing I'll describe is, I think you can hear, how is the two strong words? Like a deep whistle of wind moving through the rocks, right? So you're kind of this blowing of wind. It feels like there's that sound of the, maybe it's a little distant, but this like medium pitch wind traveling through the canyon sound.
Like the whistling of the wind?
Yeah, but a little deeper. It's not like a high pitch, right? It's a little bit deeper than that.
Is it safe to say that like that wasn't, that last time we were here, there wasn't that sound?
I'll tell you this. I can give you more if you want to roll. I don't think you noticed the sound before, but I don't think it seems out of place necessarily. Like no, you're in this rocky formation. You want to save it, you said?
Yeah, I'll save the roll. But I do think I'll just tap a quick message to Nasir, ETA to rendezvous, ? And I'll just send that. And John, I'm going to go ahead and I want to take out fan favorite Return of the Droid.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Woo.
And I think I just want to have it like kind of circling overhead because it, or like just near me over shoulder over here. I just want to have it ready to like observe anything where if I want to like see something from a distance, like I just want to have it out.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you launch it up and it's traveling. I mean, again, it's over the terrain, right? You're not down in the, and I think I described there was kind of a ladder, right? Like a extendable ladder. That was the thing that let you get down into the crevice, right? Into the cave.
Yeah. And John, this is very important. It was so cool when I brought up the droid. It's the first time it came out for the season. Yeah. Like I didn't even break stride. Like I just like whipped out my hand. It came out. That's right. It was really.
Does the drone look different than how it did last season, or is it the same?
So, do you remember how my like super suit had like the green accents on it? Because that was awesome. Like this one now has now the droid has like little green accents too.
Okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you launch. I think we see it like you flick it out. I think we see it hovering. Maybe there's kind of like a box pattern. It's kind of orbiting above you, just kind of surveying everything.
I think Mara looks at Arno and she goes, and how exactly did you convince the fleet to let you keep your playthings?
Officially, Dr. Bolova, those drones went missing. These are just a hobbyist's toys.
And the racing green is coincidental, of course.
Well, I read your notes, and once I figured out the wiring, I just figured why not add a little flair.
Did you name it as well?
Don't be ridiculous. Of course not.
I think she might put her hands up a little bit. Just asking.
I lose these by the dozen. I don't want to get too attached to any one of them.
I think at like too attached, maybe we'd just been in polite, fun conversation for slightly too long. So again, I think she looks down at her slate and kind of like, again, scans the horizon ahead, horizon behind, and offers to Arno, they can't have beaten us here. So where are they?
So I think maybe when you say that at this point in the conversation, you reach the ladder.
Yeah. Descend into the abyss.
Yeah, you start moving down it.
Yeah, I think there's no time to waste.
Who goes first?
I'll go first.
Okay. I think as you're moving down the ladder, then I'll say that you do notice one thing without a roll. And that is that the wind sound I described earlier, it becomes stronger and deeper as you move into the cave. It's almost, you know, I mentioned it's kind of like a lower pitch whistle above, like the lower pitch, again, not quite howl, it's too aggressive. Down here, it starts to form more of a rumble. And I think maybe you can feel the ladder a little bit shaking.
So do we have any reason to believe this is like not a natural phenomena of this planet? Like, does anything feel off or alien? She asked hesitantly.
I mean, other than the fact that you're descending into this cave that contains this anomaly in it.
We expect that. I suppose what I'm saying is that, like, does anything, and it, like, if I need to roll, I can roll or whatever. But is there a reason to believe that it's like, oh, this isn't just wind. This is like the rift collapsing in on itself and creating a black hole that'll like smother a galaxy.
I mean, I think the reason that you might believe that is that it's getting stronger. The sound is getting louder as you go down into the cave.
Ah, okay. That's fair.
I mean, it could be, I think, a natural phenomenon in the sense of the wind. Maybe like the wind is somehow being funneled into here, but I think right. you would find that suspicious, at least without a roll. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Interesting.
But I think, I mean, if you want to roll, I think you can do more, but...
No, I think that's sufficient to understand that it's increasing in intensity as we move towards the... Yeah. Rift is sufficient.
And I think, again, you have your suits on. You have the vac suits, right? Because I had mentioned that, or these kind of protective suits because of the radiation that this thing puts off.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the lights on that? You have, like, kind of helmet lights, you think, on that? What does that look like?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So maybe there's, like, some on the side and some on the top. Kind of has, like, multiple. I don't know, like, it's, like, why are there more than one light? I don't know, but it looks cool. So we'll go with that for, you know, our sci-fi stuff.
We have to at least have one that's illuminating the face for our close-ups. And then...
Like, internally.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that. I feel like there's also, like, maybe, like, the HUD is kind of lighting your face, too, a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we see the lights shine. And I think you approach the edge... of like the opening to the cave, right? And I think you hear from the inside a voice say, "Arno, Mara, don't." And then I think you see the eye violently shift its focus toward you, and the rumble turns into the inside of a tornado. Two of the lights and several sensors that were surrounding this anomaly fly toward the rift. And I think they just blink out of existence when they touch the edge, right? It's like, oh, they're not there anymore.
Cool. Dope. Hate that.
I think that you two are far enough away from this to have not been, like, pulled into it immediately, right? I think you maybe stumble a bit, but are able to catch your footing. However, when you look into the room, you see that several of the larger pieces of equipment have been knocked over. And one of those is a large wire rack that was holding several pieces of equipment. The equipment that was on that rack is still contained between the shelves, which is now horizontal and on the ground. But you see that the rack is getting pulled slowly toward the rift. And that clinging onto the rack is Dr. Sen.
Jesus.
Shit.
I'm going to discharge Juggernaut to try to save Dr. Sen. When you move forward unflinching towards a goal through an immediate danger or hazard that others cower from, discharge this move, rolls plus stalwart.
Okay. Go ahead and roll. I mean, how are you doing that? Just describe what your intentions are before you roll.
I think I slide, like, kind of just like, you know how in like video games sometimes you can like go down the ladder really quickly by like your character just sort of like letting go of the sides, but they're holding down the railing. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of like sliding down really quickly. I think I want to just like however much distance there is between me and the floor or the bottom of this ladder, I just want to go down at like pretty much maximum speed over here and run towards Dr. Sen. I think from there I want to, let me see if I have an item for this that makes sense.
I mean, you don't have to necessarily use like an item. I mean, like if it's something else that you have.
Hey,
I have
like
one thought
thing. Yeah,
if you want to use this is a freebie, up to you, but you had mentioned that you had those hooks. Like, remember how when you were on Kairos, so you had the hooks that you used to slide down the wall?
Yes. Yes. So I think I want to, like, attach one to the bottom of the ladder, hold on to, like, the rope, and go to rescue Dr. Sen.
Okay. And, like, maybe you're using those arm hooks, like, on the ground to, like, keep your... Because, I mean, I think you can feel, like, once you get to the bottom, you feel that this is pulling you toward it, right? It is, like, sucking everything into this... Like, again, out of existence, really, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and roll plus stalwart, then.
Okay. 10.
All right, that's big.
Woo!
So on a 10 plus, you're unstoppable, and you can choose two from the list.
Okay, so I think I'm going to unquestionably reach my goal.
Okay.
So the second option here reads you clear or uncover a way through for an ally. I think what I want is... when Mara gets down for her to be able to hold on to like the rope, it's like secure fastened so that if she needs to move around in the space, she can sort of like use that if we needed to like progress further over here.
Okay, so you picked those two. You did not pick the if you take harm, take minus one harm. So we'll get to that in a second. I think you... So you attached the a rope. You said you wanted to put a rope onto the ladder, right? That was the advantage. Okay, I think you do that. You have the tether, and it's almost like... You're moving horizontally across the ground, right? But the sensation and how you're navigating this is as if the ground itself is like a vertical rock face. Because the force that's pulling you into this, I mean, it feels gravitational. It's almost as if that's the bottom and you're on the side of a vertical cliff. And so you have this rope, you're belaying yourself down, and you're also using like the arm hooks, right? The kind of like things you use to slide down the rock face to do exactly the same thing. But you're, again, you're moving horizontally across the ground. If we were showing the camera level, you do that and you're moving toward Dr. Sen. I think the room is the space. There's kind of it's like tiered. It's not like dug out, but it's, I think there was a kind of natural decline in the rocks that made a, almost like there's this center area where the anomaly occurred, and then there's a higher perimeter of some higher up rocks that held some of the other equipment that was more long-term storage. And I think Dr. Sen is kind of that cabinet that they're holding onto is in between those two layers. It's almost diagonally sliding down into the pit. I think you make your way across the face of it, like on the edge of where the rocks kind of lower in their height there. And I think as you're doing that, another shelf falls over. And I think in that shelf was a, it's like the head of a light, right? It's like these, the lights are kind of mounted on these metal tripods, right? These stands that have like a long vertical piece, and then the light clips into the top. And this is just the top part, like the light itself. It's kind of a long horizontal floodlight with these metal flaps that you can use to change the angle of where it's shining. And that light, I mean, it's pretty heavy. It flies off the shelf and it hits you in your faceplate. And I think it cracks your visor, right? Go ahead and take two harm now.
Two harm? That's a lot of harm.
If you have a way to mitigate it, you can definitely do that. I think you have some things.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and actually just use the body armor to absorb two.
Okay. So then you do that, you discharge that, use that. I think in that case, you don't take any immediate injury from this, but it did crack your visor, right? So I think the consequence of that we'll see how that materializes as you continue to operate in this space. But I think you're able to continue moving, you shield your head with your arm and move toward Dr. Sen. I think you reach them. And again, they're just holding onto the shelf, like as it's the entire shelf itself is sliding maybe a couple inches at a time toward this rift, right? What do you do at that point now that you've reached them?
I extend a hand out.
Okay. I think maybe they grab your hand, and as their weight comes off of the shelf, the entire cabinet structure and all of the pieces of equipment inside of it fling rapidly and violently toward the rift and again just vanish from existence, as far as you can tell. Just disappear completely.
If Arno is like trying to grapple with Dr. Sen and keep them from getting swallowed, I think if he left an ability for me to like again chain or latch myself to the to ladder, I'm going to like fix myself to it and then try to grab them to like make a chain to pull them back over to the ladder to get out of here.
Start dragging them. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I wonder, John, if you'll give this to me, just let me know if that's okay. Like, would I have like a carabiner available to like maybe latch Dr. Sen onto the rope that I'd been using this whole time?
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I think you can like latch them on, right? You're holding them. I mean, you know, like we'll see based on the dice if that works or not. You know what I mean? I think that's, but you definitely have the equipment. So Mara, I think go ahead and roll. I mean, it sounds like maybe keep your cool is the right move for this. If you're just kind of trying to drag them, that sounds like stalwart to me and not necessarily slick, but open to thoughts if you have another move for this. It's probably not scope it out, I hate to say, but.
No, it's, I think I agree. I think it is stalwart.
Yeah, and I don't think you're manipulating the rope either, even if that is a kind of technical reading.
No. But it is weirdly alien, but I feel like I'm trying to resist the alien, so.
Yeah, and I think not in the same way that Leva was.
Every option.
All right, so go ahead and roll plus stalwart.
7.
It is a mixed success. So when you attempt to keep your cool under pressure or endure hardship, you can roll plus stalwart, and on a 7 time, you choose one from the list. You either have disadvantage going forward, you suffer stress, or you give up something, leave something behind, or take something with you, and I will be the one that tells you what.
I think I will say disadvantage going forward, as long as I can, you know, like, am successful in, like, accessing them, grabbing them, or providing myself to be a bridge to the escape.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're doing here, so I'll give you this. I think that what you've done is pulled them, and I'm kind of maybe thinking of this as one of those, like, role challenges, right? I think that you've, through this action, you've pulled them up above the lip, right? Because I mentioned there was this edge that they were sliding down. So I think they're now on, like, flatter terrain that gets you to the door. But I think that that's the most that you're able to pull. I think you're just kind of holding on, and maybe it's because the force of this thing, it's, and from your perspective, it feels like the wind, but, you know, Arno, from your perspective, it feels like it's the weight of your own body is increasing to the point where it's becoming hard to, you know, for Mara to pull you, right? Mm-hmm. So now my question for you is, what do you do to get you and Dr. Sen the rest of the way?
What am I doing to get the rest of the way?
Yeah. Or now it's your turn in the order. I'll put it that way.
I guess, so we're getting...
And it could just be like you're like climbing with pure strength of the arms. It could be.
That's what I was thinking, right? It's almost like making my way up. Like in this case, because we're being pulled back in the opposite direction, I almost feel like I'm pulling my way forward, like back towards the ladder. And I'm just wondering how I'm keeping. No,
I mean, you had those arm hooks, right? So maybe you're just like clawing into the ground with every step. You know what I mean? Or it's not steps. It's like a arm, like you're like doing like chin ups on the floor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's like I'm just like hacking my way almost like an ice climber in this case, but it's just rock.
Yeah.
And I think the difference over here is, tell me, John, what's the terrain like?
I think that where you are, this level is relatively flat, but it's still very rocky. There's a lot of like openings between these almost like columns of stone, right? It's again, the whole vibe is very volcanic rock, like Iceland like terrain, right? That's the vibe here.
Then yeah, I think I'm not too worried then about like where I'm placing the hooks. I think I'm just looking for any like obviously loose terrain over here to avoid, but like I'm just gonna keep making my way forward then.
So my question then is, do you have another role for this, or is it like keep your cool, act quick? What do you think that is for you?
I mean, I'd really like to make the case that what this is just sheer force of will and like pure adrenaline and violence trying to claw my way back here. But I would be, I think keep your cool works too.
Oh, I don't know. I think you could do that, man. Like, that sounds like an incredible athletic feat, right? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that works.
Fuck yeah.
So it is still stalwart, but yeah, I think that works really well.
I'll take an eight.
I think that works for this because, so when you flood your system with adrenaline in a tense or dangerous situation, which I think this is, you discharge the move, so go ahead and do that, but then you can also roll plus stalwart. And at 7 time, you can hold one, and while you're still in danger, which I think you are, you may spend hold one for one on the following. You can ignore any negative effects or modifiers caused by harm you've marked. You can perform an incredible athletic feat, which it sounds like you might be doing.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, you could add your volatile modifier to the harm you deal for one attack, but that would require you to attack the rift, which...
I'm attacking the fuck out of this ground.
Fuck it up!
Yeah, so I think you do that. I mean, do you want to describe what it looks like as you're kind of ice climbing, stabbing your way forward? Like, what do we
I think you just hear, you like, the screams every time, like, he's hacking away. Like, it's just, like almost like a workout, just like, every time he, like, hits the ground over here, just, like, working his way forward. And like that the only thing really keeping him going at this point is just like complete focus on like escaping this danger, like working against the force pulling against him or pulling him into the rift.
So I think you do that. And Mara, I think you're kind of still pulling on the rope, right? So you're taking the slack out, right? Like as he's doing this and is moving it closer to you.
Yeah, I'm helping. Yeah.
And I think, Arno, you reach the ladder with Dr. Sen in tow, and I think you're able to kind of become like vertical again, right? It's that the like the gravity seems to return to normal. And I think as that happens, we see the iris of this eye narrow, and I think that you hear a sound, and you know, Arno and Mara, maybe you just hear it as a change in the wind, but I think like we as the listeners or the viewers know that it's the same sound, it's the same scream that Leela heard at the end of the maze. And then I think the rift is gone.
Whoa.
Oh, shit. Spooky.
I think Arno, catching his breath, just looks over at Dr. Sun and says, "What happened here?"
I don't know. I had my back to it, and then I think they look back and they say, "We just lost our only lead."
I think at that point I walk in.
I don't think Mara engages in the conversation. I think she immediately springs to see if there's anything salvageable. Like, yeah. did literally everything get sucked in a rift? Is there a single piece of equipment that we can utilize? Is there a single instrument left standing? Is there anything, like something wired to the wall, maybe? That's where her head's at, is immediately aggregate data.
So I think you're doing that, and I know that you're kind of, you know, maybe half serious, half joking, Mo, but I do think at this point, Nasir, you do reach it. And maybe I think you could...
The reason I said that's the point I walk in is because I had a one-liner. Yeah. But Mara's thing is more serious, so I don't want to step on their scene.
Thank God you sewed up so you could quip while we almost died. Thank God.
I do think at this point, though, we hear you coming down the ladder.
What on earth happened here? That wasn't my quip. It's just the quip's no longer appropriate.
I'm going to be honest. I was kind of worried. I was like, buddy.
The quip was when she said, we just lost our only lead. The quip was not our only lead, because I have two different leads.
Okay. Good.
But that quip is just not appropriate after.
No.
We'll get. I'll tee you up for the quip at some point.
Anyway, the line was, what the hell happened here?
It's gone. The rift just disappeared.
So at this point, before we go further in the scene, I just want to ask Leela, I think we saw you at the end of the last sequence look down and catch your slate and see the messages that you missed, including Arno and Mara's message about their intention and the messages about what was happening with the rift. Do you think that you follow them, and do we see you enter the scene now? Or did you stay behind or do something different during this period?
I guess two things. First off, I think I just had my own harrowing experience. And so I don't know that Leela's immediate impulse is to jump up and start running somewhere else. I think while I am not necessarily physically injured, I think I'm like mentally recovering from what just happened. And then the second thing, which is a bit more interpersonal, is I don't even know, like, it kind of felt like the subtext of the message that Arno and Mara sent was just like, by the way, we're doing this in case we die, not here's an invitation to come, like, hang out with us. So I also wonder if from that angle, Leela does not feel that needs to be her move right now.
So I guess in that case, we don't, you know, Leela's not present for this. And then we can pick up with Nasir at the bottom of the ladder.
So I assume we pick up and they've explained to me everything that happened. John, what are the readings? Like, the last time I was here, I got successful readings that could be used to detect the anomaly from the outside.
Correct.
What am I detecting now? Like, pulling out my scanner and detecting now, what do I get?
Yeah.
Or what's different?
Yeah, you get nothing. Like, the anomaly is gone.
But we had a man on the outside. By that, I mean drone.
That's true.
I mean, that's rough, buddy. That's like, I don't... oof. Can I scan Satis? Like, the planet?
Yeah.
And see if I get any readings to indicate an anomaly? Not even just Satis, Satis the planet, Satis the star system.
The system, yeah.
Ooh.
Go ahead and roll. I guess it's scope it out. So yeah, go ahead and roll plus calculating.
That is a 6 plus a 1, 7. Woo!
That was a big one. That was a big one.
A big plus one, baby. Big plus one.
I was like, oh, it's back and you're dead. You know what I mean? Versus, okay, no. You get one question from the list. Okay. So on a 7 to 9, your perception is a little dull, but you can ask one question from the scope out list.
What should I be on the lookout for?
Okay. I mean, so here's what you do. Like, we see you going and changing the focus of the scanner, right? Like, you're, it's like, oh, we see the zoom levels, right? It's like, oh, like this room, this quadrant, right? This continent, this planet, this system, right? And you're kind of zooming out and out. And I mean, it's like taking time, right? Like, again, I mentioned that the readings only come at the speed of light, right? You're only getting the signal as it would reach you. But you can see that looking at the history and looking through these, the signals that you've been tracking, right? It's just that this anomaly, it was here and then it wasn't, right? And maybe actually I think you saw like a spike in the activity right before it vanished. I mentioned you had those sensors set up, and maybe it was a spike in activity just before like the local readings went dark because whatever was scanning this was swallowed up. But you see that and then there's just nothing, right? You don't detect anything. And I think you said, what should you be on the lookout for, right? And I think the answer to that question is, given how violent the change was, right? Like, you're looking around the room and seeing the process that led to this and how much damage it caused. This was not a kind of, like, if this were something that evolved over time, you'd expect that change, like, to be gradual, right? Like, if it's
a natural phenomenon.
Like a black hole evaporating, right? Like a natural phenomenon. Yeah, you would expect it to be slow and like the gradient would be smooth. And this was not that. It seems like something caused this change, just like it maybe caused it to appear in the first place.
Cool. Hate everything about that. Thanks.
So, Mara, I think you're going around the room trying to salvage what equipment is left. And I mean, I think the data that was copied to your slates, like you have that. But I think there's the destruction's pretty significant in the room. And I think, I don't know if you, I mean, do you say anything at this point or do you kind of are just silent waiting for someone else to speak?
I think what Mara would be doing, like, I understand, you know, like you're telling me and I accept that there's nothing to be done. But I think that Mara is going to like fine tooth comb, like,
yeah.
She's going to confirm and reconfirm and confirm for the 20th time, right? That like nothing can be salvaged. So I think that like no matter, like she probably appraised like minutes ago that there was nothing to be done, but she's going to like examine every piece of circuitry to see if anything could be salvaged.
And I could give, I mean, if you want to roll to see like what you find, I can allow that. You know what I mean? I think it's like, if you're just looking at the equipment, that might not be where the answer lies, right? And I think like what has happened, right? But if you if you're looking to see what information can be gleaned that you don't already have, I think you could roll scope it out if you want to.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that is there anything from the remaining instruments that can tell us what shift occurred? Because there is obviously like a before in which the rift was stable in some sort of capacity.
Yeah.
And then the now where it's gone. And so the immediately before it was gone, it had this violent reaction. But almost like, was there even a like an in between the calm, nothing is going on that led to violent reaction that dissipated it from reality? So like that's her thing, is that it's just like, is there some sort of antecedent to the change? So if I could roll scope it out, that would be great.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a 13.
Oh.
This is good episode. Holy shit. We have rolled so well.
So with the 13, you can ask three questions to scope it out list. So go ahead and take a look and let me know what they are.
I think my number one is who's really in control here.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
What should I be on the lookout for? It also kind of plays into the, if Mara wants to like kind of zoom in on any barely perceivable changes that led to the rift closing in on itself, that kind of feels like what should I be on the lookout for? That's what I'm thinking about that. And then our old standby, who or what here could be a useful opportunity.
So I think what happens is you're looking through all, like the sensors, kind of like objects on the floor. I think there's a lot of equipment that was measuring like the radiation and the radio frequency signals that were being emitted by this thing. And all of that's just like completely destroyed, right? I mean, again, you have the data that you have, but anything that was like the deep storage or kind of like what you would parse through afterwards, just completely wrecked. Like those were all sensors that were put right up close to it. And that was just immediately pulled into this rift or whatever. And, you know, where it went after that, I guess you don't know. And I think we kind of see as you're maybe you're like distraught by this and you're kind of just walking around the room. And I think we see you maybe look down and we see it toward the perimeter. There's just a simple camera. Like this was just recording it. Like just video. Nothing sophisticated. It's just like, what does it look like? And I think you take it and you start to play it back. And I think it's like the moment that the rift became violent, right? It's like the furthest back footage where you start when you reverse it. We just see it's like on the ground, right? It's like the lens is sideways, you know, because it got toppled over when you and Arno came down the ladder. So it's like there's this moment when Dr. Sen said, Arno, Mara, don't. That's the moment when it got tipped over. And I think you're playing, you kind of go to when the lens is vertical again, you're playing it back and forth and advancing a couple frames. I think you see a few things. One thing is that you see movement in the pupil of this eye, right? And I'll get to what that is in a second, but I think you notice the movement obscures. I had said that there were these like pinpricks of light in it, right? And I think the movement obscures one of the pinpricks. And I think that that tells you that the pinpricks are not like an effect of the lens, but it's something physical that's being, that can be blocked. So it's like some kind of object that itself is physical in space somewhere. And I think maybe when you study them, you realize that these look like stars. I think maybe I'd even describe them like a night sky. But I think that these pinpricks are sources of light that can be seen and maybe measured in some way. And I think that you could maybe use that to determine where you're looking, I guess, or what angle you're looking at.
Okay.
I think the other thing, though, the other questions were who's really in control here and what should I be on the lookout for? I think that the object you see, I can't give you a, oh yeah, it was Jim, right? That's who's really in control here. I don't have that level of answer for you.
That fucking bastard. Jim. I knew it.
I wish it was Jim.
But I think what you see is, it probably was, but I think what you see in terms of what you should be on the lookout for and also who's really in control here, and I think the answers to those two things are the same, is advancing back further right when this change happened, you see that on the other side of the rift is what looks like the ghost ship, but it's larger and darker in color than the one that you've recalled seeing before.
Fuck.
Do you share that information with us?
Like, at this point, I think, like, you guys have noticed Mara has been standing there a little bit and maybe replaying something over and over again. And I think you hear her say, fuck.
Mara? And I'll walk over.
I'll go ahead and, like, zoom in or enhance, replay, do all of the stuff.
Well, I suppose that confirms it. And I'll pull out my slate and I will show them the image of the other ship with two sets of wings. Do these two images match, or are there now three ghost ships?
You asked a good question. You can't tell if there's any difference between these. unlike the other one, right? Unlike the image that's at the beginning of the footage that you saw, Nasir, right? That one looks different. These don't look different.
Wait, you're saying that the one I saw at the beginning of the footage looks different than the ghost ship in this ship?
No, sorry. The one you saw at the beginning of the footage was what we've called the ghost ship.
Okay.
And there was this other ship that was following it.
Right, yes.
Or that was, I don't want to say following it, that's describing an attention I don't think you're, that you have. It was going, like, after it, right? Like, later in the footage, you saw a second thing. This looks like the second thing. And you can't tell the difference between this thing and the second thing. But it does not look like the first thing.
So there's Ghost 1 and Ghost 2.
It looks just like Ghost 2. Dark ghost.
So the ghost has a specter.
James Bond will return.
I got two ghosts, one for the plug and one for the load.
Where's the nearest thing? I think Arnold wants to throw the nearest thing.
No one's judging him. That's appropriate.
They keep playing in our face. Dr. Belova, is it safe to say that the trail has gone cold here for the rift?
We know for a fact that this end of the rift no longer exists in this space. We have a potential lead, a small one, to perhaps find the other side.
And I think she'll like pull up and again like show maybe her even starting actually to triangulate like the constellation that she can see. And I don't expect that to be instantaneous, right? Like, I expect that to take, you know, some time.
I think it could be pretty fast.
Okay.
I think that when you're doing that, I think you see the calculation running, and maybe it's like we see all these lines going between the points, right? It's kind of like like facial recognition, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's kind of showing the distances between these points of light and kind of running through a list of probabilities. I think as you say that, though, Dr. Sen actually chimes in and they say, even if you could find this other point, the other side, if I'm right about what this is, if it is a bridge between these spaces, one side can't exist without the other. If the rift is closed here, it's gone there as well.
Do we know that? What if the two sides aren't linked? Maybe this exit or entry is gone, but has appeared somewhere else, and one side stays stationary.
I suppose, I mean, anything is possible. This is all beyond our current state of knowledge, but if you imagine the rift as a hole or a bridge connecting two points, each path only leads to one destination. You wouldn't have one side of the bridge without the other. But I suppose there could be more than one.
Right now, it's one small piece of evidence in a vanishingly small pile.
So I think at that point, the calculation's complete. And I think you don't have an exact distance, right? I think you have like a pretty sizable range, but you do have an azimuth, right? Like the angle that it's at. Mm. And I think taking those things together, you are kind of surprised and think there might be something wrong with the data. And I think the reason for that is where we are, right? And where Earth is, I guess I'll put it this way, is in a sort of minor cutout of a particular arm of the Milky Way. It's called the Orion arm or spur, right? So that's where we exist. And I think everything in the Verge that we're talking about is within, like, if we held the galaxy in our hand, would be in a space that's smaller than a grain of sand within that space. And that's the extent of what we have explored. But this point that you're seeing is maybe it would be like the distance of a centimeter, right? So just dozens or hundreds of times further away than anything that we've explored as humanity at this point. But it's also located above the plane that most of the objects in the galaxy exists on. So it's kind of laterally offset from that. And that's where the star map, I guess, points to that you're looking at.
So you're saying it's close to Earth? Sorry, maybe I misunderstood.
No, no, it's very far. It's farther than anyone has ever gone. And even with the Contramatter Drive, it would take, I guess, centuries under current technology to travel that distance.
Okay. Well, no going there.
I might have another idea. It's no secret that I've been tracking the ghost ship, well, the first ghost ship, our time apart, but any gestures to our surroundings and says, I think somewhere with a little bit of workspace would be more suitable for me to show you what I've been working on.
Lila walks in.
What the heck happened here?
What are you doing here?
So if that's the case and we cut away here, maybe I want to actually do something else in between, right? And I guess like the other thing that makes sense of like what would occur next here is I think that the council, I mean, I assume that you let them know what happened. Is that correct? Let me, I guess, ask you guys that. Do you like inform the people who sent you here what occurred?
That's up to you guys.
I mean, yeah.
Sorry, which council? The Status Council or the...
No,
or
like the council, Ico. The Interplanetary Council of Humanity.
Yeah, I let Ico know.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, there's too many things called council. I realize that one's
dear
on...
Dear fuckers.
It's on me and it's on me.
That's Ico.
Yeah, yeah. I tried doing that. You let Ico know, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
I think maybe they ask you to join them on a call.
Can it be an email?
It could, probably. Before we get into that, though, I just want to understand what the council looks like a bit. Not necessarily who's on it and who's going to join this meeting or conversation with you, but just like how many members are there and what do these meetings typically look like? So I can explain how this is similar or different to that. Like, is it a huge thing and there's like hundreds of people on it, or is it just like a small body of like one person from each planet?
Will you remind me how many planets there are?
There's 12 total, including Earth.
And Aventine?
And counting Aventine, yeah.
So my suggestion is that each planet actually sends two members of the delegation, but they each have one vote. And it's a senior and junior member. So you have a voting member and then someone who votes in absentia when the first member is unavailable or when the primary member is unavailable.
The only thing that I'll say about what we've established previously is that I don't know if I want to get into their like voting power necessarily, because we had also established previously that they get to, it's like based on their population, right? But just that Earth can't like trump the Verge, right? So there's some kind of like protection there, but it's not like one vote per planet. That's not how it was set up.
Okay, so. That's fine. I still think that Ico, as far as just like meeting as a council, though, would still have, I still think I like the idea of like a junior and senior member for the delegation to the council itself, yeah. And however they handle voting, they handle voting.
Yeah, the only thing I want to add to that is that I think that there's a head of it who could be from any planet. And I don't think that is like, I don't think the head of the council.
Except Earth.
Except Earth? Who knows? I think it's kind of like the Pope, where you don't pick one from Earth, but it's not a rule.
I don't know. I think after the early 2000s, they learned that you have to codify your norms and you can't just assume that they'll always be abided by.
I think ignoring everything that's been stated, I think the meetings, everyone shows up as a hologram.
Okay.
I don't think it's like a bunch of squares. Definitely. I think that like, although people cannot be there in physical form, I mean, like, I think they like maybe make an attempt to, but I think in this situation where it's an emergency that it's like hologram people to get a full holistic understanding of like people's reactions and physical like their demeanors more so than what you can see on just like a web camera.
I also think that when a new member is added, they'll say to them, "We grant you a seat on the council, but we do not grant you the rank of master."
Yeah.
This is outrageous. This is unfair. I'm going to kill children.
I think I like all that. I think that the like maybe if I can add one thing on my end, maybe it's that in terms of like how the powers of the representatives or how they operate works. Maybe like each planet can decide for themselves like how their representatives can vote or what that structure is, right? So that maybe that would allow some change, like if you have sort of diverse views here.
Seems great.
So I think maybe if it's just like one person, or you'd expect like a small number, like two people for each planet, then I think we see like start to see who's on the council, which doesn't necessarily correspond with the political leadership of each planet, right? And I don't want to get into all the details of who's on this, because we don't have all the time in the world, but I think there's a couple of people that you recognize. Reeve Kosarek is present. I think you see her there. I think you also see Kiyomi Pratt, who's Astrid. I think you see Nico Torres. And I think you also see from Earth, Evelyn Lee. I think you don't see there Aiden Kuros, even though you know that he is on the council.
He's afraid to face me. Coward.
I think that Evelyn Lee begins speaking. And I think she says, First Minister Kuros sends his regrets that he couldn't attend, but he was able to share his position with us before the call.
And just to be clear, I'm here now, right?
I think so, yeah.
I would like to be here now.
And I guess let me ask this. I should probably have asked this before I began. Did you send them everything? You sent them including the evidence of this, like the ship that you found. Is that right, Nasir? Mm.
I didn't withhold anything.
Okay. I think Reeve Kosarek actually chimes in then and says, the evidence that this rogue ship or vessel, that there's more of them, that they kind of caused this anomaly, is incredibly troubling. We can only assume that whoever orchestrated this, that whatever force is behind it, it seems almost designed to threaten the new peace. And I think then Evelyn Lee continues and says, in terms of our next steps, on at least one point, the council is unanimous. We know we've asked a lot of the four of you, but we're asking you for one more thing. And that's to track down whoever caused this and to put an end to it.
No.
I think Nico Torres looks up and says, no, you won't.
I don't see why.
I'm not going to say anything while Arno speaks.
You don't see the threat that this poses to all of us?
I don't see how we have more resources than the rest of humanity combined. You have all the information that we do. You don't need us.
I think Mara is definitely looking at Arno curiously as he has spent all of the interim time like tracking and obsessing over this. So I don't think she really understands his angle here.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It's just that Arno is probably my second favorite person in this room. No offense, but Mara's here. And so yeah, we get it. Everyone knows where we stand. I think that I'm not trying to like harsh his vibe. I don't know what his angle is or what he's angling at, but I've played chess with Arno enough times to assume he's after something.
Leela has also stayed silent and is not going to be the one to step in here.
Good move.
Well, guess the campaign's over.
Sweet. Awesome.
What? Bye, no.
Good night, everybody.
There was a call to action, and we just said no and went back to what
no,
we were doing.
Thank you.
Get yourselves four other losers. Marvin, the murderer we left on that planet, he might be a good candidate.
Katya LeClaire.
Katya
LeClaire.
Hooper, the whip smart investigator on
the child.
She was good.
The child. Get her child. In there. Jesus.
John, I don't trust that the request is as simple as it's being made out to be. I know that there's more information and that there will be briefings on it. However, I feel that we are owed honesty from the council, and more importantly, that by simply accepting the council's requests, we are smoothing over pretending the tensions that exist between the members and the member planets don't exist. And so I am aggravating tensions. I do want them to have to work to persuade us to do this. I think I will ultimately acquiesce, but fuck them if they think that they're not going to have to work to keep me out of retirement.
Like, they haven't even talked about pay. Like, we're out here risking our minds and bodies and, like, nothing. Put some dollar signs in front of me.
Credits.
I think that Nico Torres says, you're right that we don't need you. And if you say no, we'll proceed accordingly. However, it is the case that each of you brings some, he kind of sighs, unique abilities to the table. Dr. Belova's deeds are known to everybody, despite her recent flares for the dramatic.
He's got to twist the knife, doesn't this fucker?
Yeah. As much as I hate to admit it, Mr. Badock's ability to persuade certainly was made clear to me. And Ms. Malik's abilities have some unique connection with whatever it is that we're up against. And he stops with the three.
Just say it. You need our credibility. The Verge trusts us to conduct this investigation. You could send the fleet out. You could send as many soldiers as you wanted to conduct this investigation, but it means nothing if people won't cooperate with you.
I think when you say that, President or ex-President Lee says, and yes, there is that as well.
It's good to see you, Counselor.
I think she nods at you, and maybe there's a little bit of pain in the nod.
I, for one, support everything my colleague says. I say that without a hint of irony or pain. What I want to know is not what support we can expect from the council, but what support we can expect from each of your individual planets. It is the belief of the four people standing before you, as we have stated on many occasions, that this is a rogue faction, someone not currently ruled by any of our governments. But you said Herman Easling, not Herman Easling. Who's here from Satis?
I think it's actually Sydney Gladwell from Satis.
Yeah.
Love it.
I didn't say yet, but I think that's the answer.
But, and I'll look at Sydney Gladwell. It was brought to our attention by members of Satis's government that we should not rule out the possibility that there is someone in this room responsible for what is happening. Or not in this room. And I will look to Aiden Kyros's empty chair.
Mm.
I think Mara, like, nods deeply when Nasir says that.
We are accounting for all possibilities. We need the full cooperation of each of your governments.
And we want our ship